Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast, coming at you live for the big episode 100 of the pod. Joey, we have officially arrived at the century mark of Hoth Hangout Podcasts, if you can believe it. It's going to be a fun one today. Kind of a nice vibe of like, I was referring to it as like a very much produced version of something like that we would have done probably back at the beginning of Hoth Hangout, if that makes sense. Like, right. We're going to be selecting all these fun different topics. The wheel will be selecting all these fun different topics to talk right. about, and we'll be interacting with chat as we go throughout as well. So it's going to be a blast. Welcome to all those of you watching the podcast live on YouTube. Welcome all those of you here in the chat. Before we begin with today's discussions, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast, as well as all of our latest reactions to the new Star Wars shows episodes when they do go live. Shout out to the 460 of you who are currently subscribed to Hoth Hangout on YouTube. We appreciate y'all very much as we grow closer and closer to that big 500 mark. Additionally, you can contact us via email at thehothhangout@gmail.com. Email with all your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. The Hoth Hangout Podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the pod. We'd appreciate it very much, and it also does allow it to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials at Hoth Hangout on Instagram, TikTok, and X, as well as the Hoth Hangout Community Discord server, which is available down in the show notes of today's episode. Follow us on all of those social sites. The big question of the day, the viewer teaser question of the day, is which trilogy is your favorite? To kick off some of our discussions, maybe let us know if you're watching the podcast live. Let us know in the chat. Are you a prequel person? Are you an original person? Or are you a sequel person? Which is your favorite? As we kind of have that question to kick us off today, leading into our awesome discussions of all these different topics, Joey, that ChatGPT potentially has selected for us today to discuss for the big 100th episode. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I had to wear my D. Rose jersey. He announced his retirement this week. He was easily one of the best Chicago Bulls ever to put on a jersey in the NBA, so I was sad to see him go, but I wanted to rep here. I see you've got some a good shirt on today for the 100th anniversary, 100th episode of the podcast.
Yeah, shout out to the fiance for the Hoth merch gift.
Nice. But yeah, yeah. I'm excited. Is this our second? Is it only our second live episode?
Yeah, excluding the gameplay playthroughs mm-hmm. for Jedi Survivor that we did a while back. Oh, and the one stream that you did when you unlocked the Ahsoka skin.
No, Ahsoka one, yeah. The one when yeah. I unlocked it in like 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm done. And then proceeded to play for another hour or so. But I'm excited. Oh, you and I come from the Twitch background where we're used to live streaming and having a chat to interact with and stuff. So I'm excited for that. Excited to, you know, see what this is something different, because normally you and I, we have, and Gibbo, we have a set of notes where we, you know, these are all the things we're going to discuss. But today, and we'll explain it a little bit short and in a little bit here, we just have a huge list that we're just going to randomly pick a topic, and then you and I will go back and forth and talk about it. Maybe some chatters will also get their input in on there. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, we've got lots of different categories even that ChatGPT has selected for us. We'll get to that here very shortly. And we're going to begin today's discussion, though, as we typically do here on the pod, before we get into the meat and potatoes, as I typically say. We are going to first be discussing some new pieces of Star Wars news that have happened just in the past week. Two of the biggest pieces of news pertain to Disney live action, one in the form of a film coming out in less than 2 years' time. That, of course, is the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, which is set to be released in May of 2026. It was announced this week, or perhaps leaked even, that this film will be the conclusion of the Din Djarin story, or at least the main story as we know it. Otherwise, in other words, that there is not going to be a season four of Mandalorian, it seems, which, I mean, I hope that means that the movie will feel conclusive to the story. I like the idea of them finishing the Din Djarin and Grogu story in a film rather than a show. I think it makes it a lot more meaningful and epic and, like, you know, this big thing. At the same time, I don't know if it leaves, like, you know, 10 years from now, a bad taste in the mouth of people who watch seasons 1, 2, and 3 of Mando. And then the end of season 3 is just kind of like, oh, that's how the show ended. Like, oh, you don't understand. You have to watch this movie, you know.
Is it
going to be like one of those instances? So, I mean, I don't know if I feel strongly about the fact that the movie will likely be the end of the Din Djarin and Grogu arc, but it is news nonetheless that broke this week. What did you think when you read this?
It's an interesting way to do it. Like you said, you know, we had the 3 seasons and then to end it off with a movie. We'll see how it goes. I mean, that could be the new meta. You know, that might be the new thing that people, you know, that they're going to do. They'll have the shows and then end it with a movie. You know, is that foreshadowing something for, like, maybe Ahsoka or some other shows? You know, maybe that was the intention for Acolyte, you know, and, you know, who knows what could have been. So if it's successful, maybe. I mean, Mandalorian in itself was kind of a trailblazer as far as what it brought to Disney, what it brought to Star Wars. So to have this to be that show as well, maybe end it off with the movie, it could work out pretty well. One thing that I did want to mention, though, is, you know, with Din Djarin, you know, maybe the saga is over, but possibly maybe we see Din Djarin in other shows and other movies. You know, obviously he was in Boba Fett, so we know it's possible. But I think there's, you know, so maybe we see him in other places, just not his own show. But does this mean, does the Mandalorian, is that going to be done? You know, I mean, we know that there is this whole Bo-Katan now, the Bo-Katan story. Does Mandalorian now just continue with her? You know, so just some questions that maybe we have to think about.
Yeah, like you said, this will definitely not be the end of the character. They already said in the announcement that he'll be in those future Disney Plus things, just not as the title character. So, I mean, I hope we get a, like, crazy big movie. It'll probably be like 10 years from now when all the live action series, you know, they're going to do the Marvel thing, except for with TV show form instead of, like, the Avengers, how it did it in film form. Like, 10 years from now, we're going to get this, like, Din Djarin, Ahsoka, Acolyte, all these other shows, like, crossing over into what, not Acolyte, probably, since it's a different era, of course, but, you know, all the New Republic shows going to be, like, crossing over into one film. It'll be kind of cool to see how that goes. But anyways, so Mandalorian, not getting a season 4, it looks like, and the conclusion of the arc or the story will be in the Mandalorian and Grogu show. As we shift to our second piece of news today, I want to give a quick shout out to those of you watching in chat, Top Shelf Breaks, Fion Sports, and Knifey. Hairgon Jin in the house.
Hairgon Jin, what's up, Knifey? It's a friend of mine.
yeah. I recognize the name from the Twitch community, yeah. By the way, Spiral Sports original trilogy, but Rogue One, the favorite film. I respect that opinion so
much. Yeah. Rogue One's a great pick.
Yeah. You misspelled hijacked Book of Boba Fett. Yeah. Our second piece of news we're covering today is the Cal Kestis news, the announcement that he will be making his live action debut on Disney Plus. I think this is something that people have been wanting for a really long time, especially with the popularity of the Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order games. And I believe the third game comes out less than a year from now. Is that right? I don't know if I have the date.
I don't know. Did they actually ever announce that? I mean, I remember he was at that convention where he pretty much said that, you know, that there is going to be another game, but I don't know if they actually announced it, if that it was going to be
right
for next year. I could be wrong with that, though.
No, I haven't seen a date. The only reason I said next summer is I think that would follow the same like time span between Fallen Order and Survivor, but maybe they take extra time for whatever the third game is going to be. But Regardless, it's really exciting news to hear that Cal Kestis, we're going to be seeing him in live action. Like I said, something that fans have seemed like they've really been pushing for, and it's something it looks like it's going to happen. And yes, to respond in chat, first of all, hey, Knifey, hope you're doing well. And yeah, I think they are planning, I would assume they would cast Cameron Monaghan. Did I get the actor's name correct? I think I did.
That's right. Yeah, that sounds right.
I would assume they would cast him in the role. He's someone that's not unfamiliar to acting in live action roles. If anyone is familiar with Gotham, he plays the young version of the Joker in that show. Shout out to Gotham. It's a great show, by the way, if you've never seen it. But yeah, I would assume they would have the same actor portraying Cal Kestis in the future live action Star Wars show. So
yeah, and it should be known that these two pieces of news aren't officially announced at this point. They are more of in the rumor category at this point. There was someone who was very in tune with the happenings of Lucasfilms who I believe posted this on his Patreon. So there's no like official links to any of this. There's just some tweets, some things, but these are the things that are going on in the Star Wars community that, you know, once you know, certain people get a hold of, they just want to run with it. So of course we got to talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Nothing officially confirmed with either of these pieces of news, but like you said, coming from a relatively reliable resource in that regard for both of these. So looking forward to seeing Cal Kestis in live action, looking forward to seeing Mandalorian and Grogu in their film together in summer of 2026, which still feels like it's so far away saying that, but I look forward to it.
2025 is not too far away though, so.
Are you trying to make me feel like it's not actually that far?
I'm just trying to, you know, lighten a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in a couple months, we got 2025, so we're good.
Yeah. That's the news for today. We got a couple viewer comments to showcase, which, by the way, shout out to Spy on Sports watching live in the YouTube chat. We have two comments from you, Spy on Sports, from last week's episode when we discussed kind of our recap of our 2 years of podcasting, celebrating that 2 year anniversary. Got a text. Yeah, our secret source for those news segments that we just covered was actually George Lucas. Can or cannot confirm, but the comments from last week's episode from Spy on Sports. The first one said, "Psych Talk. Psych is my all time favorite show." Of course, we were talking about Psych a little bit, the Jaleel White arc during last week's episode, which was like one of the most fun tangents I think we've been on in a while. Spy on Sports also went on to say, "I have watched the entire series at least 10 times." That's crazy.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Like I've watched The Office maybe 5 times and I thought that was a ton. So Psych 10 times is astronomical. That's awesome. also said, "I was already headed to the comments when you first mentioned Jaleel White. Love that you just watched his arc in Psych." Yeah, it was my first time watching the arc. But it was a really good, fun episode. But yeah, anytime we can incorporate some TV and movie talk into the podcast, we usually try to grab that and insert it where we can. So, which, by the way, in honor of the 2 year anniversary episode, is a fun recall to what we originally in the very first episode of Hoth Hangout were like. Is this going to be a movie and TV show podcast, or is it going to be a Star Wars podcast? Like we started podcasting not knowing what it was going to be. So it is fun to incorporate those movie and TV show elements. But Spy on Sports also said, "Pretty sure I came up upon Hoth Hangout in late 2022. My first YouTube comment was on the Star Wars Holiday Special, number 14. I skipped around while y'all covered some animation, of course. Yes, Spy on Sports, our local resident animation, dare I say, hater? No.
Not enjoyer,
yeah. Keep up the great work. Show keeps getting better and better. May the Force be with you. May the Force be with you as well, Spy on Sports. We appreciate you. And yeah, that holiday special video was a really fun one to do. Number 14, wow. By the way, shout out to my fiance Mariah in the chat. Glad someone introduced you to Psych. Been I cannot take credit for discovering Psych on my own. I feel like it was that show that just like always was on my streaming platforms and I was like, I don't know, and then I never watched it, and then of course she got me into it, so
hey, you got there, bud.
Yeah Well, thank you to Spyhound Sports for those two comments from last week's episode. And we appreciate you for leaving those. And for anyone who's leaving comments on this episode in the future, thank you for leaving those comments and continue to leave those. And we'd love to showcase them on future episodes of the podcast. We also asked on YouTube, as well as over on X, the community question for last week on the YouTube community tab was, what do you want to see from Hoth Hangout in year three? The options being interviews, live episodes, exclusive content, and gaming. Live episodes getting the majority of the vote on the YouTube poll with 80%. Looks like live episodes is going to be something we're going to be more than likely seeing a lot more of here in year three. And what better, of course, to kick off our first episode of year three than a live episode? So we're already fulfilling the results of the poll, Joey. over on X, it was the same result with 50% of the vote going towards live episodes. Meanwhile, 25% on interviews, 25% on gaming. No exclusive content votes on either platform. So we hear you loud and clear. No exclusive content. No.
Yeah. Yeah, live episodes, like I said, that's our bread and butter. So I think that's our past. So I think it would be great. I think it would be great if we did a live episode every so often.
Yeah, yeah. Leaning into kind of that experience with, you know, streaming, like you said, both of us coming from that background. So thank you to those of you who voted in this week's poll. Tune in to, I guess it will likely be up for 2 weeks, probably, this week's poll. And tune in on the YouTube community tab, as well as the Hoth Hangout X account to have your vote cast in this week's poll. It is, of course, the 100th episode of Hoth Hangout. Just, I guess, to like have a quick, I don't know, 60-second recap of last week's podcast episode, if you weren't able to watch it or you missed it. It was really just a nostalgia episode. We kind of talked about the history of the podcast, kind of from where we came from, where it was just you and I basically just talking off the cuff about, you know, the first three episodes of Andor with no script, no notes, just like, all right, record, here we go. In fact, the intro to that episode was like, it happened, and then we were like, I guess that's the intro.
right.
So, you know, coming from that, and then over time, you know, incorporating all the different things we had done, like inviting guests on and doing the live streams here and there and the gaming content and all the different variations of videos that we've done. And then particularly also mentioning like all the amazing, you know, visual quality improvements that Gibbo has brought to the podcast and how awesome it's been to kind of have the three of us together, especially, gosh, I feel like we're coming up on more episodes having all three of us together on the podcast than just you and I.
Yeah, most definitely.
It feels like it was probably somewhere around like in the 50s or 60s when that happened. But so that was kind of what we talked about last week, and it was pretty fun to celebrate the 2 years. And this week we get to continue the celebrations, of course, with episode 100. And we thought kind of, you know, one of the things we could do for this episode, which I said kind of off the top of this episode, it feels very reminiscent of something we would do early on, but at the same time, like with more like visual quality and production now, obviously, like picking topics and just like kind of going at like, you know, what do we think about these things, these different commonly debated Star Wars topics? And also because it is a live stream, opening it up to chat and being able to incorporate voices as we go throughout. So yeah, it's going to be fun. We've got 100 different topics from ChatGPT. Joey, what was the process like gathering some of these ChatGPT topics?
Oh, it was very simple. I just said, give me 100 Star Wars topics to talk on a podcast. So I didn't do any filtering or anything like that. And here's the wheel of topics that we have here. Like we said, there's 100 different topics. ChatGPT was nice enough to at least categorize these. So there are 10 of each of these topics. Core movies, characters, the Force and Jedi, the Sith, the Clone Wars, Star Wars TV shows, planets and worlds, technology and vehicles, themes and storytelling, and fandom and future of Star Wars. So there's quite a few here. This kind of reminds me of the trivia episode. I'm getting a little bit of PTSD just thinking about it. But yeah, so we just have these 10 different categories, 10 each. Did you want to just randomly pick a couple of one, like number, a couple of these, just to give them an idea of what type of topics we're going to be possibly getting?
Sure. Like, for example, in the core movies category, you've got stuff like, did The Force Awakens rely too much on nostalgia? In the characters category, you've got stuff like, how did Luke Skywalker evolve as a character across all the trilogies?
Pretty in depth.
yeah. I mean, down the line, like, you've got the Star Wars TV show questions, like, what makes Rebels a key part of Star Wars storytelling? Or how did the Bad Batch explore the aftermath of the Clone Wars? Like, there's some pretty good questions, ChatGPT. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So we've got questions that are kind of just all across the board and kind of go surprisingly in depth. We'll probably spend, I don't know, depends on the question, 5, maybe 10 minutes on each question. Probably.
Well, I'll spend like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'll spend 15.
And then Ben might be kind of going off the cuff here. Yeah. Spine Sports here says, what? No Star Wars animation category? Yeah. That I purposely filtered that one out for you, Spy. So I did want you to play along.
If it makes you feel any better, though, Spy on Sports, it looks like 4 of the 10 questions in the Star Wars TV show category are about animated Star Wars. And we do have a whole category that's just the Clone Wars. So don't count us out yet. You never know.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
Right. Are we ready to spin the wheel of topics? I feel like we need... did you ever play... This is such a deep cut. So I apologize if it doesn't land with anyone. Did you ever play Webkinz, or were you familiar with Webkinz?
Mm-mm.
It was this game, like, probably, I don't know, at least 20 years ago, maybe 15, where you had like Webkinz in real life, but then you could like tag it in the game, and you had like your Webkinz was actually in the game.
Oh, and okay.
And they had this thing in the game, and it was called the Wheel of Wow. So I feel like we need some sort of like... tagline for our wheel, like the wheel of topics or something like that. I don't know, but
looks like Knifey's a Webkinz fan.
Yeah, shout out to Webkinz. That's gonna be a my shout out for the end of the podcast.
Is that still around?
I honestly don't know if someone can find the answer to if I think Webkinz still exists. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll bring a Webkinz on for episode 101. Nice. Yeah.
Just completely left turn, just not talk about Star Wars anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Canadian thing. Interesting. Yeah.
We stole again.
Yeah. A potty break when we get to the Clone Wars category. Okay. Well, would you like to... I believe it's Gibbo controlling the wheel, is it not?
Yes, that's right.
Gibbo, would you like to do the honors and spin the wheel of topic? Yeah, that's the tagline right there.
There you go.
What do we got? I mean, the words are so small because there's 100 topics. What does it say? Revenge of the Sith? Is that what that says? Oh, I love this question. Okay. First question that we got from the wheel is, how has Revenge of the Sith impacted the perception of the prequels over time?
Wow.
I absolutely love
this question. Do I just like let you talk for the next 25 minutes and then take a break?
I mean, I won't go too long on this one. Because I feel like I've said this before, probably. In fact, this feels like maybe one of the few conversations we had about Star Wars like 3 years ago, back when I was like coming into your Twitch chat and like, Joey, what do you think about Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Easily the best prequel film. I think regardless of whether you're talking about the perception in the mid-2000s or like modern day, I think people in 2005 would have said it's the best prequel film. I think people in 2024 would say it's the best prequel film. It's really not even close, I would say. Not that I hate episode 1 and 2. I'm a prequel guy. I like both those films, particularly episode 1 a little bit more than episode 2. But this is about Revenge of the Sith. I think people are able to appreciate the... kind of the arc of Anakin Skywalker really well. I think that's what Revenge of the Sith does for Star Wars. Yes, 4, 5, and 6 are just like the original trilogy. It's classic. It's timeless. But really, you don't know the story of Anakin, the full story of Anakin, without the prequel films. And so what the prequel films provide more than anything, particularly Revenge of the Sith, is that you feel so much differently about Vader when you watch the originals. You know, if you watch 4, 5, and 6, never having seen the prequels, like, you have very little, if any, empathy for Vader. Mm-hmm. If you watch 4, 5, and 6 after the prequels, which I've actually had this conversation as an internal dialogue with myself, with my future children, like, how will I show them Star Wars? And I personally will probably go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. But, you know, even if you watch the originals first and then the prequels, it really alters your perception of Vader as, you know, he's not this heartless, you know, maniacal Sith Lord in the original trilogy, like we probably thought he was in the late 70s and early 80s. He is someone who's extremely broken. He's someone who has been affected by grief and loss and really just anger and hatred. And Revenge of the Sith shows that really well. 1 and 2, I would argue, are also necessary because you see sort of the downfall of that destruction internally within him. But apart from the fact that it's just a really well-done film, I would even make the case, it's hard to put the Mustafar battle over Duel of the Fates, but I think it's closer than people mm-hmm. think. I love the Anakin Obi-Wan duel. So all that to say, I hope I kept that relatively short. Revenge of the Sith really illuminates on the character of Anakin Skywalker, who is obviously like the main character of, you know, Star Wars 1 through 6. And really, you could argue 1 through 9, I guess, too, but really, especially 1 through 6. So, hot take, Anakin is annoying in episodes 1 and 2. At least he's annoying and evil. Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't find him. I do find him annoying in episode 2. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't find him probably as annoying as most people do in episode 1, but maybe that's because I have a softer spot for that movie. But yeah, I can absolutely agree. He's super annoying in episode 2. I don't like sand.
Yeah, that dialogue is so bad in episode 2.
Oh, it's so bad. Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with pretty much all that you said. Having watched the prequels in the theater, and I think I've said this in the past, I know that there was a lot of like hate, you know, vitriol hate towards some of the prequels. I didn't really find them that bad when I was watching them. I was entertained by them. I had a fun, you know, one of the things that I was shocked to learn like later on was how so many people didn't like the, what was it? The Yoda Dooku fight in episode 2. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I know we're not talking about that, but I mean, just kind of generally speaking, the prequels, I felt like got a bad rap, you know, kind of early on. But when I saw the Battle of Mustafar in the theater, oh boy, just the dialogue between the two of them. You know how many, you know, you could see that all over Instagram now, all the memes, people talking about like just the entire, that dialogue between Obi-Wan and Anakin on Mustafar was huge. You know, it was so great. It was well done. Hayden had, you know, up to that point, maybe not the best acting. You know, I'll still say that until now. You know, I feel like, you know, he could have been directed better. And it could have been, you know, a little bit more of a powerful performance. But some of the writing was just straight up cheesy. You know, I think we had some of, when we were going through the worst things about Star Wars, I think the dialogue between Padme, or even just that romance between Padme and Anakin was one of those top of worst moments in Star Wars. So, but like I said, even at the time when I was watching it live in the theaters, it wasn't even really that bad for me. But to answer this question, how, you know, over time, people can still look back at Battle of Mustafar and be wowed at it, you know, and I think things like the Clone Wars animation show, things like, you know, now Ahsoka, you know, came in with some of the flashbacks and, you know, that relationship. As time went on, the prequels got better because of all of these other things that came out after it, you know. Now, Revenge of the Sith was kind of the most impactful of those three for sure. But I think the addition of everything else that, you know, we got post, you know, the prequel trilogy, like I said, the Clone Wars and everything else, and the emergence of Ahsoka, I think really helped out the prequels a ton as well, because you don't really, obviously you don't see her in the prequels, but you know it's during that era, so you just have this good feeling for that era now. So it wasn't, I don't think it was just the Revenge of the Sith alone. I think it had to do with just everything.
Yeah. And I think something else worth mentioning too that I didn't mention is this is actually my second favorite Star Wars film. So it's up there.
So this for me. So we rigged this wheel for you to answer that question.
Yes,
is what we're
saying. This wheel was rigged for me. But I like this first question, kicking it off with one that I feel like I'm pretty passionate about, the fact that Revenge of the Sith is my second favorite Star Wars movie in general. So I like that. I like that one, Gibbo. That was a great first question. What do we got going for our second question here with the wheel of topics? See, what are we landing on? We had a core movie question for the first question. What category are we going for number two? What is your favorite starfighter design and why? And this is in the technology and vehicles category, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite starfighter design? Does it have to be specifically a starfighter, or is this like any ship? Because if we're going any ship, I would probably have top two. But if we're talking starfighter, I mean, I don't think anything beats the X-Wing for me.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, there's some cooler design. Like, I really like, for some reason, the design of the Y-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think they're more of like a bomber, kind of a bomber type of starfighter. So I just like how it looks, like with the bombers kind of on the side there. So I think I would probably go with Y-Wing just to be a little different. But yeah, the X-Wing though, I mean, I remember having an X-Wing when I was growing up. It's like one of my favorite. It's, you know, it's just so iconic. That is Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, if we're expanding it, maybe I'd say, like, obviously the Millennium Falcon would be another one for me.
Yeah, of course.
Also Slave One. I think, you know, that's another one that I would put up there. Jango or Boba ship.
Boba Fett's. Yeah.
Those are, but yeah, if I'm just talking like Starfighter, I think man, you know, it's funny you say that. In Star Wars Battlefront 2, I actually like using the I use the Y-Wing, like you mentioned, but I like using the TIE, or not TIE, the what do you call the shuttle?
The Imperial shuttle?
Yeah, I think it's just called the Imperial shuttle.
Yeah.
If that counts as a starfighter, that's the one I use in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Nice.
The last starfighter, isn't Spy on Sports says in chat, isn't the last starfighter like a knockoff Star Wars movie, if I'm not mistaken? The last starfighter, 1984 film.
Oh, nice. TIE interceptors are pretty dope. Yes, Spy on Sports, those can haul. What I liked about Force Awakens was when they were on, was it Takodona? I can't remember where it was, but it was basically where they had captured Rey. Mm. It was, yeah, Maz Kanata's castle. It was around that time. So I don't remember really ever seeing X-Wings fly so low to the ground to see how fast they go. Same with like the Millennium Falcon as well. So you could see in real space, because when it's in like in vast space, you can't really see how fast they go, like whatever. But I think when you have the ground to kind of see exactly how fast they move, it just makes it for a better viewing experience.
Yeah, I am glad you thought of the name of the planet, because you are asking about like sequel trilogy planet names, and that is like maybe my worst trivia category we've ever used. But yeah, I think my answer would be X-Wing for this one. And,
yeah, Poe's black X-Wing, Spy on Sports says, was awesome, yep. Too. Yeah, that was because it was black and had little orange accents. Yeah, those were hot.
Nice. I like that question. I was I was admittedly like a little worried about the technology and vehicles category because I was like, I know a lot of people are like really passionate about Star Wars vehicles, and I feel like if there is one section of it that I of just Star Wars fandom in general that I probably lack on a little bit, it's definitely vehicle knowledge. I was like, I don't know, but I can confidently say X-wings are my favorite.
Yeah, look at our trivia episodes to see how good we are with every other topic. Imagine a vehicles topic. Don't do it, Gibbo.
We'll see.
All right, we got a we got a core movie question. We got a technology and vehicles question. Where what category are we headed towards for question number three? What do we got? Let's see. I'm seeing.
Oh.
I feel like questions one and three, I don't know, I feel pretty strongly about both of these. Question three is what made Ahsoka Tano a fan favorite character. So I think you have to start this this question or the conversation with this question with the fact that a lot of people might not know this, but people hated Ahsoka like for the first year or two that she was a character when she made her debut in the Clone Wars film. She would kind of be likened to Anakin Skywalker in episode one, almost like young, whiny, annoying, like a little bit pretentious. You know, just a character that people were like, why is Anakin taking on this annoying Padawan? I think I say that, though, not only to make light of the fact that people did feel about that way about her, but I think it allowed like people to see how she started off and then see over time the way she grew as a character in the Clone Wars show, to the point where obviously people like cared about and loved this character so deeply that she eventually got her own Disney Plus live action show. So. I think what made her a fan favorite character, ironically, you could argue the fact that she started off in such a bad place that it allowed people to more easily see the transformation that she underwent in the Clone Wars show. And then obviously like getting to see kind of the older version of her in Rebels and just the lifespan of the character. And then, of course, like I said, bringing her into the live action scene and everything was just, you know, a little bit of the icing on the cake. And I'm excited for all the future Ahsoka content that we're going to get with the second season of Ahsoka. So, I mean, that's my quick answer. Apart from the fact that she's arguably my favorite Star Wars character, I would say Ahsoka definitely deserves a spot on that short list of best characters in all of Star Wars. So, yeah. How about you?
I like it. I mean, I think it's their formula where you start off with this kind of annoying, bratty type of character, but they know that this character is going to become something big. You know, I think of Ahsoka, of course. I think of Anakin, as you mentioned. Let's be honest, Luke was kind of whiny in A New Hope. Rey, you know, I know at first people were kind of upset with her. So, I mean, there's... So you know that that's kind of their formula of kind of starting off not like great because they need to become such a huge part of the galaxy. You know, I would be really curious though when, you know, because I think it was the Clone Wars movie that came out first, I want to say, where I think that's where we're introduced to Ahsoka originally. Mm-hmm. I would like to see, like, because I, you know, for those who don't know, I wasn't in Clone Wars as they came out. I watched it like, well, you know, well after it was all done. But I'd be curious of just how what, you know, Lucasfilms or whoever really thought of, like, oh wow, people are really not connecting with her, you know. But eventually it comes with good story writing, you know. Eventually there's going to be more and more stories about this character, why she is so important, why is Anakin, you know, so connected with her and everything. So I think when you have good writing, I'm going to say it again, when you have good writing, you can make a hero out of like anyone, you know? So I think that's, and the the fact that she is, you know, kind of a younger, she was a Padawan at that point, a youngling at that point when we first see her. And because I you know, we do see her, we see the same thing with Anakin, but there's a pretty big jump between episodes 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. So I think where we meet her, she's a little bit younger than when, you know, that jump. So to see that progression over time, I think that helps out. And we've said this before, everyone has like their Star Wars, you know what I mean? And I think for a lot of people, this is their Star Wars. Clone Wars is their Star Wars, not a movie, not any of the movies, but Clone Wars, you know? And to have that kind of almost cult following going into it, it was just like a huge thing. I mean, I'll be honest, by the time all this was done, I didn't even know about Ahsoka when before Clone Wars. But I had seen her and everybody loved her, and I'm like, who is this character? But to finally see it is a huge thing. So I was happy to go along for the ride. But I think that's exactly it.
You're talking about Spy on Sports, right? Who's the big fan of just the Clone Wars? Like that's
his Star Wars, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much a Star Wars, yeah.
Well, as we're wrapping up question 3 here about Ahsoka, I want to also welcome in those of you recently joining in chat. Shireya and I am Bevan Lee. Welcome in. Hope you all are having a fantastic evening. Thanks for joining us. Hi.
Hi, Bevan. Hello. Hi, Bevan. Hello. Nice to see you, Bevan.
Yeah, hi, Bevan. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Gibbo's here, too. Goodness.
Yeah. Well, Ahsoka, definitely a fantastic character, and one of my personal favorites.
Like Spy and Sports said Rosario Dawson made the difference for them.
Right, I saw that.
It was not a character of Ahsoka prior to the Rosario casting. So I don't know if it's because of it's an animated, you know, we already know that Spy and Sports is not a fan of the animated series, but interesting. Thanks for that info and that input.
Definitely. All right. So we had a Star Wars TV show question, I want to say? Or no, that would have been a character question more than likely, wouldn't it? I don't know. I'm like struggling. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. A character question. There it is. So we've had questions from 3 different categories now.
All right. We're going to get through all, going through all 100, right? That's the whole point of the episode 100, 100 questions, right?
Yeah. It's going to be the longest podcast in history answering 100 Star Wars questions. Ahsoka all day. I agree. Yeah. Now, how long would that podcast be? I mean, if we actually podcasted 100 questions, I think we could do it by 7 a.m. I believe in us. Question number 4 is, what are the saga's key messages about the consequences of war? Wow, this is like a philosophical question almost. Also, before we begin, thank you to Bevan for the congratulations on 100 episodes. Yeah, too real of a question. Okay. What are the saga's key messages?
Yeah, this is in the themes and storytelling. So we got another category.
Another category. The saga's key messages about the consequences of war. You know what my favorite take about this is? The first thing that popped into my mind is the Star Wars fans who are like, actually, the Confederacy of Independent Systems was in the right the entire time. And that's one of my favorite arguments that I've heard before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the direction I probably will take this question is that I never noticed like how much of an issue people had with the like political and war nature of the prequel films. Like, you don't really get that with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And you know, Phantom Menace opens up and it's like the Jedi are serving as ambassadors to this, you know, Confederacy ship with the Neimoidians, and you know, this whole like prequel world era is very much like centered around like war and politics and what it means to be on each side. And you know, obviously the Confederacy of Independent Systems, the CIS, are portrayed as the bad guys in the prequel film. But that kind of like begs the question, like, you know, back to the original thing I said, like the comments from certain Star Wars fans are like, the Confederacy was actually in their right the whole time, and the Republic was actually being tyrannical against them. It was So I think you get more of these themes of like war and politics in the prequel trilogy than the sequel, than the original trilogy. I don't know if where I would take this question other than that, because that was kind of the first thing that popped into my mind. So, how did you take this question when you heard it?
So for a long time, you know, you were, you know, with the original trilogy, for a long time, you were meant to just say, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, right? And you never, you side with the good guys, you side with Luke, with Han, with Leia. But the more and more you go into kind of the nuances of Star Wars, whether it is in all of the movies, TV shows, books, what have you, there is another side to the story. You know, so you have stories like Thrawn, you have stories like Lost Stars, you have like different storylines kind of through everything. And maybe I'm going too broad with this, but there is a storyline where the people in the Empire, in the First Order, think that they are right, you know, and that is why, you know, because of course when you're creating movies, you want to say this good versus bad thing, right? But something like, and I know this is going to be hot take, something like The Acolyte really could have, it really was, you know, tipping the scales there, showing the Jedi were not like doing the right thing. They were kind of bad in some ways. So, and I know that wasn't well received by a lot of the some of the Star Wars fandom. So, but that is a reality of it, right? I mean, that is... that the people aren't fighting for something that they think is wrong. They're actually fighting for something that they think is right, you know, even though they're viewed as the bad guys in the movies, in the books and everything. So just to have that thought, you know, I mean, let's be honest. It is called Star Wars, right? It is called, you know, so that is going to be a very big part of it. What's involved with wars, you know, these differences of people thinking that they're right. And when you talk about the prequels and how they're going to be like very political, that is very much why wars happen, you know. So just to you know, where it may have just been this fun lightsaber space opera thing to maybe start, it just gets deeper and deeper the more and more you think about it. And when was it in Last Jedi? I know you remember this because you know the sequel so well. in Last Jedi, when they were on Canto Bite, and there was all the people, you know, there were the casinos and everything, and they're like, how did all these people have all this money? This is like, well, because they're war profiteers. You know, these are people that are making profits based, you know, because they are selling weapons both to, you know, at that point, the Rebellion and the First Order. So, you know, these are real themes, real topics that, you know, that need to be talked about sometimes. And for Star Wars to try to get everything is good and bad, because some of it people don't want to hear about, but others do.
Yeah, Spy on Sports also like giving us this great quote from Andor, which, by the way, I think Andor is a great show to like, because it is the most probably like real and maybe I would also say like adult themed show in the Star Wars universe. Just like it feels very grounded, I guess is the best, which is ironic because it's Star Wars. But Spy on Sports says, Spy on Sports says being on the right side of the conflict does not ensure that you are right. The actions of war while serving as a means to an acceptable end will irreparably change those involved. I feel like Andor is just like littered with such good quotes like that. I looked up like Andor quotes about war, and here are the best ones we got. Luthen says at one point, I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. I burn my decency for someone else's future. I burn my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see. Like Andor
so
just
good.
Has some deep
that was that like, was that was during that like 3 minute speech, right? Or that 3 minute like monologue.
That was
a really, if you haven't seen Andor, you got it. That's some good writing right there.
I'm really excited for the next season of that show. So Anyways, regardless, yeah, it is funny the point you make that it is called Star Wars, and like I feel like when we think of Star Wars, we don't really think of war at all, even though it's like in the title. It's kind of ironic, I guess, in that sense. But yeah, Luthen's speech is definitely like a top 10 movie moment. Yep. So it's again, we're pretty big Andor advocates here on this podcast. So if you haven't seen it yet, you're missing out on a really good show. So.
Bevan mentions a consequence: you may kiss your sibling. That is a that is a possible consequence of war.
Yeah, especially when it's held in the stars.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Oh man! All right, what do we got for question five? I think our original plan was to go for five questions, but we might do what?
A couple more, yeah. A
couple more after five, yeah. What do we got here? How well did Disney... Oh!
Are these just all yours? These are just all your questions, I think, is just...
I planted the, all right.
I'll be back, one. Guys.
Yeah. How well did Disney handle the sequel trilogy overall? Man, like, you could have given us any of these questions, and I think this is the one that probably... It definitely in the last 10 years, maybe just in all of Star Wars, is like the most widely debated question in some regard or another. Welcome in, Skater. Welcome in, Stinky. How well did Disney handle the sequel trilogy overall? I think the obvious answer to this is that it was not handled well. To probably put it lightly, I mean, you could come at this from a couple different angles. You could say it's an administrative problem with Disney, you know, not having the oversight to write a cohesive story that spanned all three films, and entrusting those films to different directors who, you know, sometimes walked all over the other director's story. I think it's interesting because as directors outside of like Star Wars, I prefer Rian Johnson's directing style to J.J. Abrams' directing style. I think I can also say that Force Awakens is the best sequel film. I can also say that it's the safest sequel film. I don't think it took very many risks. Last Jedi, while it did take risks, and I think it should be honored and admired for that, at the same time, I understand the shortcomings of the movie. And then, you know, I don't hate on Last Jedi as much as some people do. Rise of Skywalker for me is kind of like the one sequel film that's just like, it felt so poorly planned. And I think it felt like Disney was just like, okay, hold on. Like you got to wait for the end. You just got to hold on to the end. Like, it's all going to make sense. It's all going to come together. And Force Awakens happens, and the primary thought is like, okay, I mean, there's this cool new Snoke guy. It really didn't feel like the film was different than New Hope, but that's kind of why we liked it for the most part, even though it wasn't like met with insane reception after The Force Awakens, but there was still this air of excitement. Last Jedi happens. Obviously, you know, you lose like a beloved character in Luke Skywalker after losing Han Solo in the previous film, and you have these like, you know, larger than life heroes that people have idolized as these Star Wars characters since the 70s being killed off in these films. And so that's probably part of the bad taste. But I think the main thing is that it just didn't connect. It did not go with The Force Awakens. It was like, here's all these decisions, and now we're going to do all these different decisions for this movie. And it's okay that they don't go with the previous movie because this is its own movie. Don't worry about it. And then they kind of go back in the Rise of Skywalker, and it's like, okay, but like, forget about the middle movie. We're actually going to kind of try to connect this to the first movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't handled well. It could have been handled so much better. Again, the main issue with the sequel trilogy is not the characters. It's not the... I wouldn't even say it's the storytelling, even though the storytelling is below average, and in the ninth film, it's really below average. It's the fact that no one planned anything. Like, to me, that is probably what frustrates me the most about the sequel trilogy, is that it had so much potential. You know, I think Kylo and Rey could have, like, that story could have been a lot better than it was. I think it was really, I was really interested in it. And then kind of the direction it took in the ninth film, I was like, it lost me a little bit, which was the main thing I think the sequels had going for it. All that to say, and this is a long soapbox about the sequel trilogy, could have been better. If I had to rank them, I would rank them probably just 7, 8, 9 in terms of like how good the film is. I think personally, I would almost put 8 above 7 just for the risks that it took, even if a lot of them didn't succeed. All that to say, sequel trilogy, particularly episode 9, were really not my favorite.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, first off, thank you, Lazy Heim, for coming in. Congrats on 100 podcast episodes. Appreciate it. And Skatergard, have a good night. Yeah, and Spy on Sports says, Disney sequel trilogy, somehow Star Wars returned. So, little meme-ish there from the from our hero, Poe Dameron. Yeah, it didn't connect. Like, the storylines between the three episodes just did not, it really did feel like three different movies. And I think they had a great idea going into, you know, having these three different directors, but it seems like they just never talked to each other. You know, that's one thing with the, like, something like with the High Republic I'm aware of. There's like a writer's room, they have like it all, you know, you had like the red yarn and, you know, like here's how these things connect and stuff like that. So the High Republic, that's why it's so good, because, you know, they sat down, they talked about their stories, that this is what we're going to do. But with these three movies, you know, it just didn't hit. I love the characters. I love Rey. I love Finn. You know, Kylo, Poe, everyone, bros. But they just did these characters wrong. They did them dirty. You know, we've said this in the past. I really wanted, and I think we all did. I think we all really wanted to love the sequel trilogy, but because it was so difficult to follow through, I found myself making excuses for it a little bit more than I would have in any other movie. I compare it to something like Harry Potter, where, and we've talked about this too, or Game of Thrones, where the story is kind of written, right? And so you have an idea of where things are going to go. With the sequel trilogy, you know, these are all kind of on the fly. These are just new. This is new content. Nothing. We have no idea what's going to happen next. So I think that's why, you know, things like Harry Potter or Game of Thrones, you know, that's why they were good for as long as they were, because they had these stories already written. So the sequel trilogy needed to be all written together. And when they swapped out directors in the last one, I think that's when really it went off like just a completely off the rails. You bring J.J. Abrams back, he does the J.J. Abrams thing, and you're just like, okay, I feel lost. No pun intended. Well, I guess pun intended. We're going to go ahead and say it.
That was so good.
you know, and it's just, you know, it was unfortunate. I mean, I'll still watch them. You know, they're entertaining to some extent, but I agree with you. Last Jedi took a shot and it didn't quite hit the mark, but I would put that above Force Awakens just a little bit, and then Rise of Skywalker at the end.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know from those of you watching the podcast live, like, how you would rank the three sequel trilogy films. Again, I'd probably go 7, 8, 9, but I would almost say 8, 7, 9 based on kind of my odd admiration for The Last Jedi. So as many of the faults as it might have had. So how do you feel about doing one more and then opening it up to questions, like a speed round, like a lightning round from questions in chat?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, we got the final question here, and then maybe if you guys have any questions that you want us to answer about Star Wars, feel free to leave those in chat anytime here in the next 5-10 minutes or so, and we'll do a lightning round with those questions. So, all right. I noticed this question as I was reading them earlier. How did the Bad Batch explore the aftermath of the Clone Wars? Man, this is a Spy on Sports question again, right? Yeah.
Yeah. See, we'll see you later. Spy on Sports.
Yeah. I would argue that the Bad Batch is the most underrated Star Wars thing. I want to say of the Disney era. That's a pretty bold claim. I would almost make the case.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would feel comfortable saying that it's probably the most underrated thing of the Disney Star Wars era. I think the reason I say that is because on the surface, similar to Clone Wars, it seems like a show that's like, you know, driven towards kind of a younger audience. Feels like there's probably not going to be anything important really that happens in the show because, you know, it's animated or whatever. But like this whole show is about like really what it means to be a person. Like you can kind of boil this show down to like, what does it mean to be like alive or living? And a lot of that is kind of like about like kind of something that you can relate to almost like a real world sense of the way like certain groups or categories of people, maybe like in the 20th century, were like seen as lesser than. Like mm-hmm. that's almost kind of the same light that, you know, not quite to that extreme as we've seen obviously in real life, but like kind of in that same vein is how clones are perceived at this era. And really the themes of this show are like, are clones worthy of personhood more or less? And you don't even like, you go into the show like not knowing that that's where it's headed at all. And so you develop these like bonds to these characters. And for me in particular, like I really loved the evolution of Crosshair's character,
mm-hmm.
As well as Omega. When I think of the show as being underrated, I think she's a large reason for that too. Like the show starts off and you're like, I don't know if either of us were really crazy about the character of Omega when it began. And you really see the transformation of her character into someone who's just kind of like this, you know, chippy, like go lucky kid, who's like a little bit annoying. To the end, it's like, this is someone who is making a difference. This is someone who is courageous, is brave, part of the team, is a leader. And I think that's a special thing to observe in this show as well. But how did it explore the aftermath of the Clone Wars in particular? I mean, I guess I just say really well. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's fun. The first episode I think of was what initially came to mind, like where you get to see, if any of you are familiar with Rebels, the show that takes place kind of after the Clone Wars era, and Bad Batch is kind of sandwiched between the Clone Wars and Rebels. You see a young Kanan Jarrus as a Padawan in the very first mm-hmm. episode of this show. And so it provides that kind of connecting point to the Clone Wars. And you get to see firsthand like the aftermath of Order 66 and how it still has its effects. And it nicely ties together kind of the devastating effects of the aftermath of the Clone Wars and leads nicely into, okay, I see how we're headed here into kind of the rebellion era that we see at the beginning of, well, with Rebels and then later with the original trilogy. So, yeah, those are kind of my Bad Batch thoughts. But what do you think?
Yeah, the big takeaway for me was, you know, what you said was, what does it mean to be a person in this era? Especially the clones, obviously, right? Because they had built all these, they've created all these clones for war, but war's done. So now what? What was the end game for all of these? Because at some point, you know, the war was going to end. You know, so there was a lot of things like, you know, clone rights and, you know, things like that. Like, what, you know, just to have that thought, I thought was just really huge. Because you still, you know, had clones on both sides now. So that was what the cool part about it was. But some were getting decommissioned. And these are things that, you know, we never really maybe thought of in the middle of the Clone Wars. You know, at some point, you know that the Clone Wars happen, you know, Revenge of the Sith happens, everything happens, and then we jump, you know, we fast forward to like A New Hope, and now there's just stormtroopers. So now there's just, you know, it's just a different type of guy that is in a white, you know, in white armor for the bad guys, you know. But to be really philosophical and really think about what it means, that this is what that show did. This is, you know, and I had no horse in this game. You know, I wasn't like one of these people that like love, and you know, there are fans out there that just love clones, you know. And that's great. You know, I love it. But that wasn't me going into this show. But after this show, like, I, you know, it really resonated with me, especially with the Hunter Omega relationship. You know, I have a daughter, so kind of seeing that really touched my heart in just kind of seeing her growth and her, the way she became, you know, more of a leader in her own ways. I mean, she's the oldest after all, right? So just to see that progression of her character, where she was, just like we said before, kind of annoying at the beginning, but then eventually becoming like this hero at the end. So I think Clone Wars really did, I think Bad Batch did a lot to expand the importance of the clones, not only for like the war itself, but just like the brotherhood that they always talk about.
Yeah, that brotherhood element is also kind of one of those key factors for me when I think about just sort of the underrated nature of the show. But we've got probably our last discussion point here for the podcast tonight. Unless any of you others listening or watching live want to add any more quick questions at the end, we've got a good question from Spy on Sports here, kind of to cap off our Star Wars discussion for the evening. And it's a great question, by the way. The question being, if you could bring back any character that's been killed off, who would it be, and what would their story arc be? Oh man, this is a really, really tough question. Do we want to count characters that were like kind of toward the end of their lives when they were killed off? In other words, another way of asking that is like, would a character like Yoda be on the table, right, for example?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I mean, did you have something that, because I had one thing that initially came to mind.
Okay. Yeah, go. You can go first.
I'd have to think of like an arc that I would want to see. But my first thought was Count Dooku.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed Tales of the Jedi. Ironically, I think I enjoyed the Dooku episodes more than the Ahsoka episodes. Just because it was, I mean, I loved both of them, but the Dooku episodes really cast a new light on the character. Well, at least in TV show or movie format, it really felt like they had taken a lot of the source material for Dooku Jedi Lost and sort of like implemented it into his character in Tales of the Jedi. And I think seeing sort of his fall to the dark side, made me want to see it more in full and like his reasonings for it in like that TV show or film format. But it almost felt like, you know how when you're like on a really fast moving vehicle and you're passing something, and then there's like openings throughout when you're passing. Mm-hmm, so you get like almost still images as you're passing. It felt like we were on a train and we were getting still images as we were riding the train of Dooku's downfall to the dark side.
Wow, and that is very descriptive.
And I want to like slow the train down to like 5 miles per hour and be like, ooh, how did that happen? Like, I want to see it more fully, you know? Mm-hmm. So the arc, I think I would love to just see like the plot of Dooku Jedi Lost in a movie. And I know that's not really like bringing him back, because I guess that he, you know, he's killed later in his life at that point from how old he is. But I would just love to see a, you know, between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones film about Count Dooku, like a Star Wars story. Dooku would be so cool. I would love that. So that was the first thought that came to my mind.
I think the Emperor has to come back again. Just kidding.
Oh man!
Somehow, the Emperor has returned. Good question. I can't think of the only one that I think that I didn't fully like, and this is going to be a bit of a deep cut. None of the major characters, really, but I feel like I'm going to mention this person, and I'll probably come up with another one. I'm going to do the Ben thing, where there's going to be one person, one answer, but also, you know.
Do it.
So the first one I think of is actually from Soul, though. It's Val.
Mm.
Because I know there isn't a huge, like, as far as, like, the Star Wars world, there isn't really, like, a big, there isn't, like, a huge consequences, like, based off of that show, that movie, really, you know? It's kind of like a fun little thing. But obviously, at the end, there's the whole Maul reveal, and we still don't know what that means, or, you know, I guess we see a little bit of it in, probably in Star Wars Outlaws, but not, you know. So I think Val would be one of the people that I just think that her character was, like, it was pretty good. Like, her and Woody Harrelson's character, Beckett, I believe his name was. Just a cool dynamic. I feel like they could have gone a little further with that storyline, where maybe she is the one that determines that he's kind of, like, you know, playing both sides. He was, you know, working with Crimson Dawn, or so I feel like that would be a better storyline for her because of that. But I think, you know, and this is probably so there's like the first one that I really thought of. But I think someone like, you know, someone like, you know, this is like the easy one, like Luke. Like the Luke one. I mean, that's a big elephant in the room. The way Luke died wasn't the best, you know. I think what people wanted was him to kind of go out with, you know, in a blaze of glory type of thing, where it was kind of cool, where, you know, he's able to make an image of himself, you know, across the universe, and that's what ends up killing him, apparently. I think that's it makes sense, but you got to stretch a little bit for it, you know. You wanted something a little bit more honorable for Luke. If this is the guy, this was the hero for, how, you know, decades of Star Wars, you need him to go out in a blaze of glory, you know. So, I mean, you know, you could say so much about the sequel trilogies. We kind of already touched on it, but yeah, I mean, if we saw a little bit more of maybe the Jedi Order that he created, I think that would be probably a little bit better. And somewhere in that, we kind of see, we don't even necessarily have to see the fall of, you know, the fall of Luke at that point. But, you know, just to understand where his mind is at least, you know, when Kylo or Ben turns on him and everything like that, you don't expect him to, and I think even Mark Hamill says this as much, you don't expect Luke to just kind of go away and it's just too much for him, you know, and he just becomes a hermit on this, you know, desolate island. You want him to be Luke Skywalker, you know? So I think that's who I would pick. You'd want him to ride into the sunset, that kind of thing, you know? And if we can get that story for Luke, I think I would be a lot happier.
I would always be in favor of more Luke Skywalker stories, mm-hmm. But welcome into D-Spirit. Hope you're doing well. And Spy on Sports also said, pre-Disney, my answer would have been Boba Fett. Now I think I'd say Cassian Andor. I'd love for him to survive Rogue One and gone on to lead a Rebellion Special Forces unit. I would.
Good one.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, Boba Fett content too would always be. Of course, we did get more Boba Fett. Mando season 2.5? I don't know.
It was branded as Book of Boba Fett, but I think it was more like pamphlet of Boba Fett.
That's pretty good. We should quote that one in the new YouTube short. The
brochure.
Right there, so. Yeah.
The brochure, yeah.
Yeah. The brochure of Boba Fett. There you go. That's the alliteration.
That rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, since you gave two, I was going to say maybe Jabba the Hutt. Then we could have a show called just Tales of the Boonta Eve Classic. And then just that could... The whole show could just be pod racing. So, yeah. they didn't even use Battlefronts. Is it Oh, Boba Fett's theme. Man, I'm in Star Wars Battlefront, a state of mind tonight. I don't know what it is.
Are we playing afterwards? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't never say never. They didn't even use Boba Fett's theme from The Empire Strikes Back. Missed opportunity. Yeah, I
guess that's true. Did they actually not?
I don't know. You know what's funny? I still have only seen the Book of Boba Fett once. And if you ask me to recall any of the music they used, I don't know if I could right now, but
yeah. I just remember the 360 no scope dude. That's all I remember from that was Book of Boba Fett, right?
Oh, the Power Ranger guy.
Yeah,
whatever his name was. Yeah, they didn't use either Book of Boba Fett. I feel like Book of Boba Fett it had promise after the first episode, and then it was just kind of like it just went downhill after that. And then they like realized it as they were making it, and they're like, "Okay, let's just throw Mando in there, and it'll be better," you know. that's another show that I kind of wish we would have a season two. I think I would rather have a season. Oh, I got to think about that. This is a good question for anybody too. Would you rather have a second season of Book of Boba Fett or a second season of The Acolyte?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What would you say, like, initially?
Oh, man. This could be, like, a whole podcast episode, honestly. We could like, do this.
Would you rather? Oh, that's it. There you go. A would you rather episode.
Yeah. This is tough. I mean, because Acolyte has Jedi, so it's kind of got that going for it. But story-wise, I think as much as the Book of Boba Fett didn't have a great reception, I would make the case it still is a more cohesive story than The Acolyte is. That's tough for me, though. Probably Book of Boba Fett, but maybe I would say The Acolyte just because I would be so curious about Darth Plagueis and seeing kind of what they do with him.
Yeah, I would say The Acolyte for that reason, because the Plagueis storyline... I want to know how they were going to get out of what they tied themselves into that. I guess that's like, because you know that the second season was at least thought about or written about, so I want to see how they were gonna get Chimer, Osha, that whole storyline, what was gonna happen, who we were supposed to root for, just that. I would have wanted to see.
Oh man, yeah, that Chimer Osha, just like it was like, oh, they're a thing now.
right.
Yeah. Oh, he's shirtless in the pond. And
not just shirtless, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
moving on.
moving on. We need more Hayden Christensen, a spinoff after Attack of the Clones. Hayden is still alive. Hayden Christensen spinoff. I wonder what era of Anakin they would do with a Hayden Christensen spinoff. I would actually, it'd be kind of fun to see a young Anakin spinoff, like training with Obi-Wan during the early years,
mm-hmm.
between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, there's a book on that. I think Brotherhood. I think that was the name of the that is around that time.
I think. I'm thinking of the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan book, Master.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Never
Master
mind.
Apprentice. Yeah.
I was like, I think I have that one over there, but I'm thinking of the Obi-Wan Qui-Gon book, but. Book of Boba Fett almost played out like Star Wars, Blazing Saddles, or support your local share. Yeah. Chimer and Osha end up being Ahsoka's great grandparents. Is that like a play on the names being combined to get
like
together?
Ahsoka, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't that be quite the spin, but
darn, we never see it.
Yeah, never see it, but now is a good opportunity for us to ask you the viewer question of the week. You'll be able to respond to this on the YouTube community tab here on YouTube, as well as the X Hangout account. Which trilogy is your favorite in Star Wars? I would assume we'll only have three options on this poll, but there might be a spicy fourth option. You never know. So, be on the lookout for the poll. Cast your vote, and we'll display those in episode 101 of the podcast. What's up, Jer Lint and Lord Galvatron? Welcome in. Sequels all day. I know Lord Galvatron is our sequel, our resident sequels big fan. So
yes. Thank you, Jer, for the 100th episode. Congratulations.
Yeah,
we made it. We made it through the 100th episode, man.
We have officially conducted 100 episodes of the Hoth Hangout podcast. It's pretty incredible to believe, and so incredible that we've done the past 100 episodes that we're going to take a week off. We're going to do episode 101, not in 1 week, but in 2 weeks time. So going to take a week to recuperate, a busy time of year, and we will see everyone back for the next episode of the podcast, episode 101, in just over 2 weeks time. Episode 101 will come out, if my math is correct, on October 17th. So be on the lookout for that. And we're going to take a week, do a little chilling, a little brainstorming about the third year of the podcast, and looking forward to the next episode. So, by the way, if you're watching live on YouTube, let us know in the comments what we should do for the topic of episode 101, because it is TBD at this moment in time. So let us know down in the comments. Pylon Sports said the Solo, Rogue One, and Andor trilogy.
I love it.
I like it. I like it. Appreciate it, Pylon Sports. Thank you. Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's episode 100 of the pod. Let's do the outro real quick, and then we'll probably say like a special word before we conclude the century episode. But if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast, check us out for the video version of the podcast, as well as all of our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows when they go live. Thank you to the 460 of you who are currently subscribed to Hoth Hangout on YouTube. And if you're listening to this, or if you're watching or listening live and you're not yet subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We'd appreciate it very much. And we are getting closer and closer to closing in on that big 500 number. Hoping to hit that sometime soon as well. So. Thank you, of course, once again, to the 460 of you who are currently subscribers to the YouTube channel. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com. If your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can find us on Apple and Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And if you're listening on either of those platforms, or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also does allow the podcast to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Follow us there, as well as checking out the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, which is available down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, we made it. 100 episodes of the Hoth Hangout podcast. We came from talking about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Andor with no notes. No prior preparations. Here we are 100 episodes later, chilling on a live stream with some amazing people, as well as you, Joey, you, Gibbo, and I all having the opportunity to be together each week and just have these awesome discussions about something we all love and are passionate about. It's been such a fun experience. It's been a great 100, and looking forward to the next 100 too, Joey.
Just to even think about the past couple of years of us doing this, and then we're just going to keep rolling with it. This was a lot of fun. I say we keep working through these 100 questions until we're done with them. So every so often we'll have a live episode. We'll knock out another, 6, 7, 8 of them, and then just keep rolling through until we finally get through all the 100. What do you think?
I like that. Yeah. Like having like a monthly or quarterly episode or something. That's a live stream, maybe a monthly live stream. Where we answer these chat questions.
Yeah, that's what the poll said. They wanted more live stream, so that's maybe true. That's what we do. But no, this was a lot of fun. We do appreciate everybody who came in, chatted. Knifey here says 100 is extra special because that's how many spin-off sequels Disney has in the works right now. So yeah, we have lots more. And you know what? Not mad about it. We're going to continue. We're going to watch all the Star Wars. Whether it's animated or, although I know Spy and Sports might not like it, but whether it's animated or live action or in books or comics or whatever, we're going to consume it all. And real quick, thanks Nestle for coming in as well, giving us the congrats on episode 100. And of course, Spy on Sports says thanks for all you do, Gibbo. Yes, Gibbo, of course, is the real winner here today.
Absolutely, yeah. And speaking of Gibbo, we also want to deliver a big thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show video and assets. Who deserves the break more than any of us? Gibbo has been putting a lot of stuff together, like yeah. especially the past couple weeks, but really the past months yeah. too. So,
because like the trivia, you did the trivia one. We really dropped this one kind of quickly on him. I'm just like, all right, we were talking like today. I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, this is what we're doing. So, Gibbo, thank you again for dealing with us, and we're sorry, but we love you, man.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I love you too. Love you too.
Who did I say I was giving my shout outs to today at the beginning of the podcast? Was it Jaleel White?
Yeah, I think it was Jaleel White. That sounds right. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I've got two shout outs. Shout out number one goes to Jaleel White, the man, the myth, the legend. Second shout out goes to Mariah in the chat, my fiance, who I will be getting married to in about 4.5 months. So,
Speaking of live streams, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I don't know if we told you this yet, Mariah, but we're podcasting live from the wedding reception. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Which one Padme's dresses is she wearing for the wedding?
Oh, definitely the Phantom Menace one. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Well, again, we appreciate each and every single one of you, whether you've listened to 100 episodes, one episode, or just a couple minutes of the Hoth Hangout podcast. It's really special and fun. It's a great opportunity to be able to, have this platform and opportunity that we get to share with so many people that also love Star Wars and just really have fun more than anything else. So from Gibbo, Joey, and myself, we appreciate all of you listening, whether you're watching live or listening after the fact. Thank you for making Hoth Hangout what it is. And thank you for, like I said, whether you've watched for a minute or for 100 episodes, thank you for just an awesome ride for the past 100 episodes. Here's to the next 100. And shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out once again to my man, Jaleel White, to Lost and to Psych and all the other TV shows and movie references we made during this episode. We appreciate each and every single one of you. We'll be taking a week off and be back in about 2 weeks' time for episode 101. Stay tuned for more live streams, likely coming once a month during year 3 of Hoth Hangout. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We will catch you all in the next one. And until then, thank you for 100 episodes. This has been Hoth Hangout, and may the Force be with you.